Mark, hello. I cannot believe, you know, as soon as I walked in this door, I felt like I had a triple shot espresso.
All day, every day. Yeah. Same energy. Let's go. Every day is the best day.
That's exactly right. Listen, before we get into it, you need to tell me how you start your morning.
How I start my morning. So you call me at a really interesting time period. About 45 days ago, I met with a guy named Kevion at Kevion on Instagram. And Kevion in his early 30s had 3 or 4 kids, was drinking during the week, didn't really have his shit together. Fast forward to now, he's done $1 billion in sales the last 5 years. So for me, I'm very particular in who I take advice from. And quite frankly, obviously, he's very successful in from a business standpoint, a family standpoint, obviously a mindset standpoint. So he started life coaching me, basically. And one of the first things that we talked about.
I can't believe you've said this. I'm thinking, where do I know this name from? I interviewed a girl 3 weeks ago now. Beautiful. And she's like, you know, my life changed when I got this life coach, and it was him. And she says it on the podcast. And if you guys, you know, if you are an avid follower of In Your Experience, you'd know who I'm talking about too.
Quite frankly, I just thought a life coach, I thought I was like above it. Almost like you didn't need a trainer at the gym. It's like you can self-motivate yourself. But having someone hold you accountable and helping guide you and see new things was huge for me. So we spoke, and he told me that he was on a regimen where he was waking up at 4:45 every day, running 7 miles, doing 100 push-ups, 100 sit-ups, 100 curls, a gallon, affirmations, all this stuff. And for me, I'm a really hard worker, but like for me, you know, it was like 7 o'clock I was waking up early. Mm-hmm. And like when he said 4:45, I was like, what the fuck? Like, no way, that's insane. But then I started doing it. And I have a super strict regimen right now, and it actually was tailored off his ideology and then a guy named Robin Sharma who has a 5 a.m. club. So basically at 4:55 my alarm goes, I jump right out of bed, I make my bed, I brush my teeth, I'm on the stair climber by 5 o'clock. From 5 o'clock to 5:37 I burn 250 calories on the stair climber, and during that time I'm listening to a podcast, so I'm educating myself.
Is that why you're starting to post them in your story every morning?
It's because it's holding me accountable.
Yeah.
And now I'm getting this community. And now every morning people are starting to hit me and story me. It's crazy. People from I'm getting it in the middle of the day too from people from other countries. It's amazing. So 5 to 5:37 is that cardio. 5:37 is 6 o'clock. I look and plan my day. So I look at my calendar. I look at my goals, my short-term goals, my long-term goals. I go upstairs. From 6:05 to 6:15, I take a shower. And then 6:30 to 8 o'clock, I do something that Robin Sharma talks about. It's called the 90-1-1. You take 90 minutes and you focus on one thing, the one most important thing. So I dial in that to a T. So like when I first started doing it, it was taxes. The next day it was taxes. The next day it was taxes. The next day it was taxes. So that happens, and that gets me through to 8 o'clock. And that for me, I'm almost at about a month right now. And quite frankly, like fundamentally, I cannot see myself ever from Monday to Friday. Because I also like to have fun. And it's a little alien. I mean, you're asleep super early. But I just get so much done so early.
Yeah.
And I have no one and it being a complete and utter solitude. And then I talked to Jeff right in the beginning of the day, and we planned a day with the team, and then when the team's in here, we're already full-fledged going.
I love that. See, a lot of people think, I don't have time to wake up at this, you know, early morning because I do so much at night, and a lot of people don't really see the benefits and how much you can achieve and become unstoppable in your mindset and in your actions day to day if you wake up early and have a morning routine. I preach that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know the correct analogies and science behind it, but there is science behind, like, if you wake up earlier, it's when your mind is the sharpest, and immediately, if you're sweating and you're doing cardio, it releases some sort of something that gets you going. And for me, it's really weird, because I feel like I have more energy. And then, also, what it does is it creates this feedback loop where it's just, I'm just so supremely I already was a confident guy. And it's just, I create so much confidence and so much momentum that it's like, when someone hits me and they're just waking you up and it's like 8:30, it's just like, I'm fucking destroying you.
Yeah.
I've been awake for 3.5 hours.
Yeah.
So it just, on so many different levels, it creates confidence, momentum. You feel healthier, you feel happier, you feel achieved. And it's like, for me, it's like my first day ends at 8 o'clock, and then I'm on one. So I'm like, I'm so excited about this. And for me, there's not many times in my life where I've been like, hey, I'm gonna stop doing this, or I'm gonna do this. I'm pretty pretty psychotic in that sense. Like when I really, 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 really say I'm gonna do something, I don't I stick to it. And I'm like really into this right now. I can't see myself not doing it. And today was actually the first day of all the days where when I was about to wake up, I was like almost like, oh, I was a little tired.
Yeah.
And I was like, fuck that shit.
Just keep pushing
and
through.
I just pushed through it because the second you get off that stair climber, it is a monumental difference in as hard as it was waking up, it's feels 15,000 times. You feel amazing when you get up that stair climber. You just feel so good. So it's just like...
It's like Mel Robbins speaks about the 5-second rule. You just got to 1, 2, 3, 4, yep. 5, get up, do it, and you'll thank yourself later. I love that.
Yep.
Now, things have changed for you. Obviously, you probably weren't always like this. So talk to us about what you do. For the people who don't know you, don't know the Iconic brand or you know why this is existing, tell us about what that is.
Yeah. So to kind of give some people some context... I think inherently, deep down, everybody's actually lazy.
Mm.
It's all in your mind. It's a mindset. It's a you versus you thing. So for people that probably that sounds crazy to waking up that early. I mean, there was a point in time, you know, when I'm in my early 20s, I'm in school, I'm drinking 30 beers a night, I'm funneling liquor, I'm a complete and utter shithead doing nothing with my life. So you can turn around at any point, and you know, it's never too late. So I just want to get that across. Iconic. So. What do you want to know how that started?
What is it, first of all? How did it start?
So what is it? First, what is it? Yeah. It is affordable art for the masses, mostly centered around culture, photography, memes, sports. We have tons of licenses. It's myself and my business partner, Jeff Cole. Cole on Instagram, C-O-L-E, best artist in the game. And yeah, he does the art. I do the business. Everything is e-commerce for the time being. And yeah, we basically found a pretty big hole in the price point art business, and it's turned into a pretty serious situation here.
It's interesting how you started because, you know, you said yourself it was an accident, which I don't know too much about that. We're going to get into it. But the thing that I think really, you know, brought you into fruition, and correct me if I'm wrong, that's where I found out about you was the collab with Gary Vee and Scooter. And I thought, great, who are these guys? I need to... you know, learn a bit more about them. And I fell in love with your art. Even though you haven't got a J-Lo one, I will say, Cole,
Jeff.
Even though you haven't got a J-Lo inspired one, that's fine. But how did that happen?
The Gary and Scooter.
The Gary and Scooter, and how did you actually, you know, why did you say to me it was an accident?
So let's go one by one. So let's talk about kind of the genesis of the brand.
Mm.
So about 4 years ago, I was the CMO of this hat company, Melon. And we were touring the U.S. I lived on a tour bus. We did 175 retailers, 40 states. I learned everything about marketing, retail, sales, buying, wholesale, MSRP, all that stuff. I discovered a kid. His name was TJ Bransfield.
Mm.
He had like a little drawing of a Pusha T on the wall. We became friends. He did some contracted work. Long story short, he did a painting. I gave it to Rob Kardashian, posted on Instagram. And I sold
it. Wait. How did you give it to Rob Kardashian?
A friend of a friend. So he was my, I guess he was my friend at that point. I haven't seen him in a long time, though. And we sold a piece for $1,000, and then I started managing him. And if you fast forward to now, his pieces have gone up to $20,000. Kevin Hart, Scott Disick, Megan Trainor, Snoop Dogg, DJ Khaled, all these clients. And in 2016, I noticed everybody that was emailing me for the art couldn't afford the art.
Mm.
So I was like, wow, there's a hole in the price point art business. We dropped a limited time print. In 48 hours, we made almost 20 grand. So I was like, okay, there's a real hole in this business, a hole in the market. And I owned some big Instagram accounts, so I had the ability to kind of barter posts. Mm. And this was 2016. So it was 2016.
Instagram wasn't as big as
it was. It wasn't as big as it was. I was the CMO of this hat company, and then Jeff Cole, my now partner, actually moved cross-country from Chicago to Orange County, and then we actually relocated to Carlsbad in San Diego. So it was me and Jeff with basically fairly miserable, little to no money. And I saw the hole in the price point market. And then Jeff, who early on started kind of growing pretty fast on Instagram, I saw the white space from a price standpoint. And he saw the white space from the, hey, you know, what is Instagram?
Mm-hmm.
Instagram is all about attention. And he's like, and then he further made it a little bit more granular. And he's like, hey, everything's about these memes or photography. Or, you know, these motivational posts.
Mm.
So then, with no expectations at all, we just started dropshipping art in 2016. We actually laugh because the name Iconic, we were literally Jeff was on the couch. I was in the kitchen on the computer. I was on trademarket.com. And we would just come up with words and be like, oh, can we spell it this way, that way, this way? So we kind of just came up with a name, and it just now it's the fucking name of the company, which is kind of weird. And then that happened. And then in 2017, we moved on to Shopify. And in February 2017, and then in March, we started doing ads.
And then
it just
Facebook?
Facebook and Instagram. Mm. And
the price point was probably so much lower.
It was very different. I think every day people wait to not go on there is a day and a dollar lost, for sure. And we got on early. And then I think it was a perfect storm of two humans that were... What's the words without being mean? Under-incentivized, underutilized, angry, super motivated, and super talented. That worked really fucking hard. And we came from a business where a lot of things were based on net terms.
Yeah.
So it's like you get paid net 30 means you get paid in 30 days, net 60, consignment, where you give them the goods and you to get paid till it sells. We were in a business where we were literally in these two chairs, and the sale came in, and it was real money. It came right in. So it's like, imagine, you know, me and Jeff did the first couple $1 million part-time. It was 5 to 8 in the morning from 6 o'clock until failure. And it was literally like me and Jeff, who had never... I made more money in college than I made in any year until the beginning of my comic. So I was like, my thing was like winning, losing, loser. Mm-hmm. And then this came. And it was just me and him here. And it was like me and him have... It's a relationship that me and him, like, no one could ever break that, like, you know, I mean, our families believe in us, but it was just, like, me and him. It was us against the world, and we literally were doing, I mean, I dealt with the first 4,500 customers.
Damn.
Me and him.
That's what getting in the trenches is.
That is what it is understanding. I can tell, I knew everything about the sizes, the shipping, how long it took, what are the damage, like, just everything we knew.
Yeah.
And it was just me and him, and we were just... do it until our fucking eyes were bleeding. Mm. And then obviously, you know, we had some cash flow and we started building with the company and brought on more people. But that was like a time that, ironically enough, this new thing that we're starting, we're actually thinking about calling it Watermark. That's the name of this building. It's called Watermark Tower. Because a lot of, I mean, I think, I look at my life in trenches and I think that, like, I found who I was as a businessman and a human in this tower. Mm-hmm. Like I'm seeing myself become like my best version of myself in here. So I mean, I'll always remember this. We call it the luxury trap house. Should maybe do a little tour here after.
Yeah.
It's nice now.
Cribs.
Yeah.
I love how you said that, because I think that the bigger that your business gets, the more that you have to evolve. And Tony Robbins always says that the chokehold on any business is the founder itself. So if you're not growing, if you're not changing and keeping up with the company and the growth of the business, then you're, you know, the business can only go so far. And then you see people starting businesses and going huge, and then you wonder why they've just gone bankrupt. It's like, well, they didn't keep up with the growth.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's just really indicative of a few things. I think it's ego, it's self-awareness, and that's ultimately hiring the right people.
Yeah.
A really cool quote that my buddy Blake Pinsker from Movement said at a conference was, what gets you here might not necessarily get you there.
Mm.
And I think that's something that we're very aware of. Like right now we're staffing up and we're getting like, our team has been based off like grit, determination, being creative, and now like we're bringing on more people that are like, you know, seasoned, like very experienced right now, to get us to that next level. That's not to undermine how important those people are, not only then, now, but also in the future. Mm. But you know, to hand off stuff to people that they can handle it from A to Z, and you can stand away.
Mm.
That's huge.
So talk to me about the collaboration.
Yeah, so Gary and Scooter, both interesting stories. Jeff was in contact with Vayner Sports to do Gary's rebrands. And long story short, he did it. They asked how much. Smartest decision ever was not charging. Under the notion, give value first. We knew we were going to have an ask later. We were sitting at these two chairs right here. I remember it vividly. It was 6-7 months later. Jeff was sitting over here. We were huge Gary disciples at that point. He's like, bro, we ever going to hit Gary, or are we just going to let that go? He literally said that. And then I went into Shopify. I checked our last 6 months of revenue. I went to the email. I'm like, dear Justin, that's our homie that plugged it. I'm like, dear Justin, we're disciples of Gary. Here's our last 6 months of revenue. We're fucking savages. We want to meet you. We think there can be a lot of synergies. Can you get us a meeting with Gary? Do it. Send it to Justin. Justin texts me back 15 minutes later. Screenshot with Gary. Hey, I'll meet with these guys. A week later, we meet at the Beverly Hills Hotel. It was actually on the Gary Vee show. 15 minutes turned into an hour. And I always say, you know, a shark knows a shark and a winner knows a winner. It might sound confident or borderline arrogant, but he knew right away that we were on some shit. So he's like, yeah, fuck with you guys. You guys should come to New York. So we went to New York a week later. So that was bubbling. The Gary situation. They go hand in hand. So the Gary shit was bubbling. And then the scooter shit.
But at this time, you didn't know what exactly was going to happen. Okay.
We were just like,
we just want to be in contact with you.
We were just like, we were just like homies at that point. It was just like, it's like for me, you know, for me to meet someone younger than me and I see like they have that spark or a little bit of me in them, you get intrigued. Because, you know, it's there's, you get intrigued.
Somebody younger than you.
Yeah. Like when I see like a guy, like I just met a guy that's a 26-year-old kid that's raising money and we took the meeting with him and I always bet on the jockey, not on the horse.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this dude's got it. Like, he will die before this loses. And he had, I think experience is sorely underestimated. He had enough experience that in the beginning, like I had it in the beginning, but I didn't have enough experience, so I failed. But once you get to that age where you have enough experience and you're a dog, I'll bet on those dogs all day. Yeah. So he kind of knew that we had it in us. And then Scooter, I was in a fraternity in college, and one of my pledge's friends, Michael George, was managing somebody, moved out to California, long story short, that stopped. So he was out here, he had no allies, no friends, no meetings. Me, out of the goodness of my heart, I just set him up with a bunch of meetings in town. And at that point, I was very plugged, but I had no money. This is when I was in the shitter. But I was doing it anyway. That's just like what I do. I like to give value. And he then, weeks later, discovered Martin Garrix on SoundCloud, which I think he does like 20 plus million a year. Brought that into Scooter's office, and then he worked with Scooter. So he's in Scooter's office. And I become, you know, loose friends with Michael over the years, 2-3 years. I'll send him some free stuff with my brands. We go and meet. And he's like, Mark, you know, you keep giving me this bullshit, this. And then I show him Iconic. And at this point, Iconic was like the ugly stepchild. It was just on the side. It was 2016. And he's like, oh, I kind of fuck with this. He's like, I think Scooter would like it. And then he got us a meeting with Scooter. And Scooter, within 240 seconds, was like, okay, damn, I fuck with you guys. What are we doing?
Yeah.
And that happened. This was the same time with Gary. And I was like, oh, we're actually talking to Gary. And then Gary and Scooter, both are Jets fans, both are homies. They had never invested in a company together. So then I kind of dropped. I was like, yo, we're talking to Scooter. Yo, we're talking to Gary. And then it was a 90-day negotiating process. We closed both. And then we went to market with both of them to ensure that just we went firing with all cylinders. And now we're here.
Shit. That's unbelievable.
The lesson is, don't be a piece of shit.
I love that.
Both lesson. Of those stories,
yeah.
We were not think about it. This was a pledge in my fraternity. I don't know if you guys know the relationship between the pledge brothers and the pledge masters and the pledge, but usually they're not supposed to like you. But he liked me.
But that's because of the level of empathy that you had. You've been in the trenches. You've probably been through shit. And you've come out and you've just hustled. And I think it's about ego as well. You've got to put the ego behind you and just admit at a certain stage, we're in the trenches. We don't know what we're doing yet. We just want to keep hustling. Like, it's like you're on a treadmill. It's go, 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 go.
I'm like so confident, but for me, I have a soft spot for just helping people.
Yeah,
just because I know, like for me, I feel like I was ready to pop a little earlier than I popped, but I just didn't have that person like me to help me.
Yeah,
and like for me, I can't wait to be like that guy that helps the younger versions of me.
Yeah,
because I know one when I see one for sure. So. Yeah. That's cool.
So let's talk about mindset. What's when we look at mindset, like we have a philosophy at NeuroAthletics, and that is the mind is what the brain does, meaning the mind lives inside of the brain. If you don't have a healthy functioning brain, your mindset's going to be a bit off. Okay. It's not going to work well. And I love talking to people like you who have gotten a lot of success, especially here in LA and New York. And I want to know about some of the mindset hacks that they've done, any rituals or anything that you've been through that's shaped the person you are today.
So a couple things. First of all, I always think it's all in your head. It's an internal game. So for me, it's all about building confidence within my head. So it's like right now, we just bet, me and my buddy Will just bet $1,000, no carbs for 30 days. So like I have fun.
No carbs?
Yeah. But no bad carbs. Okay. So it could be like potatoes.
White bread.
Yeah, like no. So like it was fun for me to go to Hotel Bel Air yesterday with Jeff over here, who's a slim fatty, and he enjoyed the bread, and I didn't eat the bread.
I love that.
That feels good for me.
Yeah.
You know, so it's really internal. I like having internal contests with either friends or with myself, and then you start gaining inside your head momentum and confidence. You're like, wow, I can do this. Wow, I can do this. Mm-hmm. So for me, it's all in my head, and then for me. Some people, my mom actually really hated about me for a long time, was I have this like anger or want to prove people wrong that doubted me. But for me personally, I love my mom to death, but like I don't give a fuck. Like I think that you should, whatever makes you go. So like for me, in my mind, from a mindset
perspective. And that's different for everyone.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything, as long as it's not like malicious or hurts the world, like I don't think there's any wrong way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And like for me, I just like, I have tattooed on my wrist right here, it says 3,500. And I was told that I was not worth $3,500 a month. Like I remember that conversation very vividly a while ago. And I look at that every single day. Every single day I look at that when I wake up. Every single day while I'm on the stair climber right now, I look at that. Often. And for all intents and purposes, I actually have a great relationship with that guy. I think he's a great guy. He had his own demons then and whatever. But like for me, it's just like I just have so many motherfuckers to prove wrong.
Oh, yeah.
And not only that, but I have a lot of people to prove right that have believed in me. You know? And like for me, it would be like if this company like doesn't succeed, then it's like I'm letting down my team down, letting down Jeff down, his family I'm letting down, my family. So yeah, I guess to cut that short, like from a mindset, I just have a contest with myself internally in my head. I think about the people that doubt me. And then one of the biggest things that I think is so underrated is, and this not only goes for mindset, but it goes for everything. It's just like who you surround yourself with.
Oh, yeah.
And what you consume. Like, again, I was just in the car with my one of my best friends, Will, who's a partner in something that we're doing, and we literally, after the treadmill, where he just tried not to do stair climber every single day, we screenshot, literally. It's, if you look at the details in our text message, all it is just screenshots, stair climber and treadmill. And, like, literally, we're talking on the way here, we're like, I was like, man, we just leveled the fuck up, like, 45 days ago, and he's like, yeah, man, I knew I had it in me, but just, like, no one, you know, and now, I literally do it, and then I hashtag right after, don't be a bitch.
I love how you said it's about the people that you surround yourself with, because I was just having this conversation and it's literally, you can either excel in life or you can go completely backwards unconsciously. And it's the same for social media. It's like, who are you following? And here's the thing, if you're following people who are doing things that, you know, let's just say a rapper who's got a completely different lifestyle to you, they may be out, or, and I don't want to say bad, like anyone who's out there, you know, smoking up, drinking, going out every night, which it may be great for them, but if you're consuming that every day, you're going to think that that's cool, you're going to start wanting to do that unconsciously, and then 6 months later, you're like, well, what have I been doing over the last 6 months? So it is really about not only physically who you're surrounding yourself with, but the content that you're consuming.
I love that. I love that. I mute so many people.
Yeah.
Some people I can't unfollow just because they're like friends, but like, do you know how many beautiful women are muted? I'm trying to work here. I'm not trying to look at your beautiful...
You didn't mute me, did you?
I didn't, because you have intellect. It's different. I'm not looking at a beautiful models page. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's my buddy from Pink Dolphin, Nima, posted like a rant on Instagram story all about who you consume and what you consume, about unfollowing and muting people. And that really hit home for me. It's like, you're over here, and it's just like, I'm at the computer, I'm looking at my phone, and it's just like, tits and ass. Like, no, I want, like, motivational quotes. I want, like, I want stuff like that to keep me,
to like, keep you going, keep you accountable.
That's why, like, this, we got our company.
Yeah.
It's, there's, like, it's, like, it's weird. I was going to say steroids for the brain. That's what we use in one of our ads. But it's like, it's really legitimate. Like, I look at this stuff. Like, I look at, it says always be learning.
Mm.
Like, that is how I live my life. Like, it's really, this shit's real.
Mm.
It's, the pieces are like, me and Jeff will just be chilling here. We'll like watch a movie. We'll hear something. It'll spark an idea. And Jeff will put it in his like little bank of ideas and he makes it.
Mm.
This is all stuff that we're consuming. This is not like random, esoterical, like sitting here thinking about it. It's all consumption.
Mm.
Everything's consumption.
Mm.
So
what's been your most popular piece?
Everything motivation is the biggest for us.
Yeah.
And I think that directly ties into the fact that it's authentic to basically the whole forward-facing identity company, which is Jeff, myself, and our team. I think that our stories are, you know, Jeff came from a affluent family. He then lost it all, and now he's built himself back up.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I came from an upper middle class, wasn't given anything to me. I was a complete shithead failure in my younger 20s, and now I think I've grown into a pretty good human.
Mm-hmm.
And people see that, you know, and like it's one thing to just be selling stuff, but then when you tie it into a story and an identity, people it resonates with people.
Yeah,
people are saying we're changing their lives and shit. That's fucking crazy.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
What's been the biggest piece of advice that you've taken on board that's changed your life?
Biggest piece of advice that I've taken and implemented, or that
implemented and that it's actually worked out really well.
Taken and worked out well. I mean, the easy answer would be wake up early. That's our thing, because that's been huge for me. I think the biggest overall genesis and piece of advice I could give to anybody is really double down on your strengths and outsource your weaknesses. I think that's the big thing, is being self-aware to know what you're good at, and then invest all of your time, energy, resources, relationships, everything into optimizing that.
Mm.
And then what you suck at, like, I don't know how to build an IKEA desk.
Mm.
I don't know what block I live off.
Mm.
I am a complete and utter idiot at so much shit. Everyone in here makes fun of me all the time. But that's why I hire people.
Yeah.
So I think the best piece of advice was just people further ingraining in my mind, intelligent people that are more successful than me, like Mark. You know, you have a gift of, you know, storytelling, biz development, sales, marketing, that stuff.
Mm.
Like, you don't see me, like, doing, like, the accounting.
Mm.
Or like, just, you know, stuff like that. Stuff that I'm not good at, I don't do. So, I mean, I think that's probably the best piece of advice. There's some other pieces of advice that I've gotten like recently.
Yeah.
That like, I'm stuff that I'm like constantly trying to work on, but it's not there yet.
So where to now for Iconic? You're going to keep making these amazing features. You're going to keep collaborating when you can. Or is there anything new that you're going to be?
Tons of new licenses, tons of new product mediums. We have a store opening up. Somewhere. So I'm not going to announce the location yet, but somewhere.
Yeah.
And then what I'm really, really excited about is, so Jeff, my business partner, has grown, in my opinion, one of the most authentic, organic, non-paid for followings that I've ever seen. He has insane demand and non-existent supply.
Wow.
We're about to give the people a little bit. And it's going to be devastating.
I'm really excited for that. I'm excited for that.
I'm excited. Jeff feels it over there. He's behind the camera right now. Jeff, let me see you. What's up?
I'm not listening.
You're not listening? Why?
You should be involved after in this conversation.
The Slim Fatty comment, you're not listening? I'm saying a lot of nice things right now.
So we're coming to the end. We're going to wrap up. But I want you to wrap up and tell us, because I know that right now, as you're building, you're going to obviously get a cult following of young, I feel, entrepreneurs who are like, I love you, like we'll diehard Gary Vee fans like he has. What's the one piece of advice that you would give them? If anyone is out there wanting to start a business, they may be fearing, and maybe even financial, they don't know, you know, some of them don't have money, they don't, what would you tell them?
Same thing I say every time. Guys, knowledge is the only thing defensible in any market. It's all about learning. All of the smartest people in the world are constantly learning. Warren Buffett, 80% of his time he reads. Like for me, my job as the leader of the company is to make sure I put out all the fires, stuff doesn't get fucked up, everybody's happy, and then I am getting smarter every single day to help lead tons of strategic initiatives. So people don't understand, like, it's so accessible now with YouTube, books, podcasts.
Yes, it's free. It's education free. Is that you can no longer say, you don't have to go to an institution. You can no longer say, I couldn't afford to go to college. My parents couldn't put me through college. Everything is free. Yeah.
Like, for me, when we're bringing people on board to our team, like, two of the main things I look for is the hunger to learn and then curiosity.
Yeah.
Curiosity to figure out how to do things, I think, go hand in hand with learning. So if I was anybody out there, I would work for free. I wouldn't give a shit about anything. The only thing I would care about is honing in, optimizing, and developing a skill set that you're passionate about. And if you do that, and then you're never going to be out of a job.
Yeah.
Ever.
I love that.
Yeah.
Where can we find...
Mark Brazil, Mark with a K, Brazil with a Z, Iconic, IKONICK, my business partner Cole, COLE, and yeah.
That's a wrap. Mark, you are amazing. Thank you.